gather here hand in hand. Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
Well, it's great to have you for another His Stories podcast or broadcast. So if we can go, we got a great guest this morning, but before we bring on the guest, if you'll go to the Lord in prayer with me, I appreciate that. Father in heaven, we just give you praise. Say that all day. We give you praise. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are a God that we can cry out Abba Father to, that you see us as sons and daughters. Lord, thank you for creating us. I thank you for the abundance of love that you offer. Lord, may we accept that love. Lord, I thank you for the testimony that's going to be shared today. It's going to be sweet, and we look forward to it. Lord, I ask that our eyes would be opened by it, that our hearts would be open. Lord, just give you praise. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning, Gil, or afternoon, or however you want. But right now where we're taping this is good morning.
So, well, good day,
Kevin. Good day.
Good day. Good day. Go for now. How you doing?
You know what? It's been a busy week, but it's been good. Really, really good.
It's been good.
Yeah, it's kind of general terms here, but yeah. I have one little thing. I have a cat, and we have a dog as well. The dog's about ready to probably go see its maker pretty soon. But we have a cat, and this cat was just kind of like at our doorstep and just kind of meowing, meowing, meowing. Like, finally, we let her in. And it's an outdoor cat, but we're going to get her fixed.
Oh.
Going to get her fixed. And she found a little guy cat.
Oh.
So,
well, she's been out there.
So,
in
if
the
anybody
streets.
Wants any kittens, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. She'll be having a
cat got
brew.
Knocked up.
I was going to say that, but I didn't.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
I was just going to let that you.
Yeah,
that,
but you're like, but I have a filter.
So anyways, that's kind of like strange, but that's kind of big in my life. Right? Oh, yeah. My mother-in-law moved in as well.
Oh,
so that's
good.
Kind of
nice. Very nice.
So that's been good.
Good.
So, yeah.
Well, my mother-in-law didn't move in this week, but it's been pretty busy week. You know, as some of you know, I have a tax practice. And so last week was the end of tax season, and I'm glad about it.
Yeah.
Yes. And so it's good. Good to see it come. Good to see it go. Yeah. And so my wife said to me the other day, Gil, it's so nice to have you back. And I went, what do you mean? She's like, you look at me and you smile, and you don't look like you have 10 things on your mind. Mm. So,
good.
Yeah, it's been good.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's been a good week.
Yeah.
But enough about us.
Yes.
We have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Nancy Addy. She's co-runs Addy Acres with her husband, Chad, who's been a past guest on the show. And she's going to be sharing her testimony with us today. So welcome, Nancy.
Hi. Thank you.
All right.
Well, good to have you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're from and kind of where you grew up and that kind of thing.
Well, I was born and raised in La Porte, Indiana.
Okay.
And
been there all your life?
Been there all my life. I did escape in 1979 with my big brother, Tom Teeter. And we lived in Stuart, Florida for a little while, for about 3 years.
Okay.
He stayed there, and he became a radio talk host guy.
Oh.
Very popular in Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Okay.
He was very, very popular. Mm-hmm. He passed away about two and a half years ago.
Okay.
But
okay.
So, and I came back, I think, right around 1980, 81.
Okay.
With my first hubby, Joel.
Okay. So, all right. Well, so how did you come to know the Lord? How about that one?
Oh, gosh. the first time, I've always had a heart for the Lord ever since I was a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we grew up in St. Peter's, and we went to school there. So I've always had a heart for the Lord, but we didn't know the Lord. We didn't know Jesus. We were really taught a lot about the love of Jesus, just God, and He kind of sits up there, and he's not very happy with us. But in, I think it was 1975, 74, somewhere right around there, I was dating a young man by the name of Perry, who had a brother named Terry. And Terry Watson, God bless you, was a, back then, a Jesus freak. Matter of fact, my father used to call him JC, short for Jesus Christ, because he was always preaching the gospel.
Wow.
And he would talk to me about Jesus. And I remember one day, I was probably about 15 or so, and I got down on my knees and I accepted the Lord, you know, as my Lord and Savior. And Terry said something amazing would happen. Well, I was expecting something amazing to happen, and nothing amazing happened. I was like, okay.
Surrounded by angels.
I did this.
Right.
And nothing is different.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so this was about 15 years old?
Yeah, I was about 15 or so.
Okay.
Part back 1974, 1975 tells you how old I am. And after that, I just never really thought about him again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, now, you grew up kind of in a family. You mentioned your family a little bit. That I remember reading your bio before you came on. That you pretty much you would put on your Sunday best, and you would go. You had the doll, or maybe going in.
Yeah, my sister and I, my sister Lori and I, would always stuff our little white vinyl purse. It was back in the 1960s, and everybody dressed up in their little white gloves and your little white purses, and we'd always stuffed an animal or something in there, and we were always getting in trouble in church, Lord, my sister and I. Oh, my gosh. We laughed through the whole thing as my dad would give us the eagle eye, or evil eye, I should say. But, yeah, we went to Mass.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, every Sunday.
And so now let's fast forward a little bit. You sort of accepted the Lord. You had this moment that wasn't extremely, you know, fireworks weren't going off. But then you say you sort of forgot about him.
Right.
How did you get reintroduced or to
the
Lord? Well,
I really got off track there when I met my first husband, Joel.
Mm-hmm.
And he was... Him and his best friend David were really into drugs, the needle and spoon kind of drugs, and I would watch them constantly doing drugs. And one day they were doing it with my best friend Janie, and I said, you know what, you guys, I'm just going to try this one time to see what you people get out of this. And I remember Janie saying, no, please, Nancy, don't do it.
Wow,
you're going to
wow.
end up like us if you do. And I'm saying, I'll do it one time. And I did it that one time, and, well, you can forget about Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I spent quite a few years being a needle and spoon person, in my later years, teenage years, and into my early 20s.
Yeah.
And, but I, you know, God was always there. He was always there saving me. I mean, there were so many times I should have been dead, overdosing and... And yet he was always there with me, getting me past that.
Wow.
Saving my life.
So in those, I assume it eventually became an addiction, correct?
Well, more of a mental addiction, not really a physical addiction. We were running cocaine, not heroin.
Uh-huh.
We were running cocaine. So that's more of a mental thing.
Mm.
I think heroin is more of a physical thing.
Okay.
You just your body craves it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With cocaine, your mind craves it.
Mm. I see. Mm. Okay. I never explained that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Okay. And so now you're in this lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
What you said was going to be just one time has become a mental addiction.
Oh my gosh.
For years. And so how did you? So where did life take you from there? Mm-hmm. Where did life, how did you come out of the addiction, I guess? Or
Well, let's see. I tried to move to Florida in 1979 when I was 19 to get away from the drug culture in La Porte. Because La Porte, even back in the 70s, was called the Little Chicago because of the drugs that was constantly flowing in and through La Porte.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother Tommy and I, moved to Florida in 1979 to get away from the drugs because my family at that time was actually planning my funeral.
Wow.
Because that's how bad I was. I had track marks up and down my arms. I weighed about 90 pounds.
Mm.
And they were actually planning my funeral. They were just waiting for me to die at that point.
Mm.
I strongly believe that my mother prayed me out of that lifestyle because she told me years later she walked up and down the golf course, Beechwood Golf Course. We live by Beechwood Golf Course in La Porte, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And she would cry out to the Lord to save her baby.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Just walking up and down, up and down.
Wow.
And I believe that my mommy
prayed
me out of that lifestyle. And we moved to 1979. We moved to Florida, my brother and I.
So now in the moving, did that just pretty much, just getting out of that environment, did that just, pretty much?
I was trying to get away from who would soon be my first husband, Joel, mm-hmm. and his friends, because mm-hmm. they were just, they right. were worse than I was
right.
at that time. And I have found that when you move to Florida, cocaine is even more popular down there in Indiana.
Wow.
I found it down there.
Yeah.
But I eventually I just kind of weaned myself
okay.
off of it, because when Joel and I finally got married in 1980, I decided that I wanted to have a family, and mm-hmm. I had to clean myself up.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So that was a big motivation.
Right, right. Okay. And then when I did get pregnant with Leanna, my daughter, I'd had enough.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It was time for me to grow up.
If I can interject something here real
mm-hmm.
quick, and that is that a lot of times we can just run past something, and that is that your mother prayed for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that is, you know, you could have easily said, well, you know what, I still have a kid, and why do I need to get cleaned up? There's a lot of moms that go that path.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there was something, you know, even though, obviously the Lord never left you.
No,
behind.
He did not.
And we have such a gracious and beautiful God that way. But you had a mother, too, that was just saying, mm-hmm. be with my baby, mm-hmm. be with
right.
my baby, be
right.
with my baby.
And
yeah. there's power.
Oh, there. Absolutely. Yeah. There is power in a praying mama.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, my mom, when I would have a really bad drug night, and I was just overdosing, or I just couldn't come down, I would be 17, 18 years old, and she would wrap me in her arms and rock me in a rocking chair that she used to rock me in when I was a baby all night until I came down. That was my mom.
Wow.
Now, and I'm sure she was praying over me. I don't remember. I just remember her, rocking me back and forth until I would come down off a bad drug high.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just see
that was my mama.
Grace.
Yeah,
that
is grace.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so
you can make me cry.
Yeah. I know.
Okay, so while Kevin's crying, so you're in Florida, you're starting this new family, mm-hmm. you're newly married, wanting to start a family. Mm-hmm. How does Jesus get is that where this happens, or now we're in this part of the story? Where is life for you at this point?
Well, let's see. Joel and I were living in Florida, and things just weren't going good in Florida, not between us two, but just jobs mm-hmm. and just everything. And we ended up moving back to LaPorte.
Okay.
That's when I really decided, when I moved back to LaPorte, it was 1981, I think, or so. We moved back. I decided to really clean up because I wanted to have a child,
okay.
you know, mm-hmm. a baby. But unfortunately, he was not, he didn't want to clean up,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
right at that time. He still wanted a party. And we started kind of drifting apart a little bit there
okay.
because he wanted to keep partying, and I'm like, I've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
But no, God really wasn't in the picture yet
okay.
at that time.
Okay. All right. So I'm assuming then eventually, not assuming, I'm pretty sure, that marriage failed.
Yes,
and then
it did, kind of, unfortunately.
You guys parted and divorced. And then, so then when does God come back into the picture?
Well, let's see. Well, Joel, and I've said that, and Chad knows this, Joel was my soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
He was, when I saw him in eighth grade looking at me through the doorway smiling, I knew at that moment I was going to marry him someday.
Mm-hmm.
But life came between us, mm-hmm. and we just could not pull it together.
Mm-hmm.
So when Joel and I parted, on good terms, I will not say anything bad about him. He is a great guy. He's passed away, and that was really hard for me.
Yeah.
When everybody left, I was hanging on his coffin, saying, I'm sorry, goodbye, to him. I got married again to another man. I'm not going to say his name, who I thought this time was going to really, here he is.
Yeah.
And we had a really good marriage, I thought. I got pregnant, for my son, who the doctor said was a miracle because I was not supposed to be able to get pregnant again. Mm. And when Kyle, my son, was about two, I think, my daughter, who was right around 9, came up and was crying. And I was trying to, because I was working in the bars at that time, and she was crying. And I said, Leanna, I've got to go. I've got to go to work. But she's crying. And I heard the Holy Spirit, who I know now, uh-huh. say, you've got to stay and talk to her. Mm-hmm. So I sat her down, and I said, Leanna, just write it out. She wrote it out, and she wrote, he touched me.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And I knew right then and there what she's talking about. And I'm like, Leanna, mm-hmm. there's good touch and bad mm-hmm. touch. Bad touch, mommy. So I packed mm-hmm. her up that night,
oh, wow.
took her over to my mom's, took her over there, and she was never alone with that husband ever again.
Yeah.
And I found out that he'd been molesting her since she was 3 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and I was really happy with this guy. My goodness, he was in mine and Joel's wedding party. I've known him since I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
You know, just always a good friend. I couldn't believe it. So, you know, we did the court thing, and mm-hmm. my little girl is sitting there telling these strangers about what happened to her, hugging this great big teddy bear sitting on my lap because it's the only way she would talk.
Mm-hmm.
So that marriage ended.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the ink wasn't even dry yet, and I met Tom working at the bars because I was working at the bars.
Mm-hmm.
And tall, handsome, charming. Oh my gosh. You're just like, oh, where has this guy been all my life? Big tips. I mean, before you knew it, he was moved in my house, and he was a very violent man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I put holes in my walls, and he would circle me, you know, calling me vile names, and
wow.
I would just stand there saying, you're right, honey, I'm sorry, honey, it's my fault, honey, just anything to keep him from you know, exploding, threatening to kill me.
Sure.
You know, he would hit my daughter so hard she would fly across the room.
Oh, my gosh.
And I knew I really had to get out of there when I came home one night, and my son, who was like 3 at the time, Kyle was 3, beautiful little blonde baby boy, in his bedroom on the floor, just sobbing, just sobbing. And I picked him up. He had this big red handprint on his face.
Oh, my goodness.
And I hugged him to me, and I'm on the floor with him, and I'm rocking back and forth, and he's sobbing, and I'm sobbing, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I will get us out of this. I will find a way to get us out of this.
Yeah.
And it took a while because, you know, people like that, they like to isolate you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I have no money
because
at that time he said, oh, stop working. I'm making enough money. You don't need to work. I have no money. I have no job. You know, and I...
You're completely dependent.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, so you have to almost plan your exit
really
carefully. Yeah.
And that's really hard to do. I know people say, oh, just leave. No, you can't just leave. It's not that easy.
Right.
You can't just pack up and leave. And back then, I think that was like the early 90s. I never heard of stepping stone, you know, a place for abused women. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if it was in operation back then. I'm sure it was.
Right.
But that kind of information wasn't really out there
for people. Right. Yeah.
So that took a while for me to get out of that. It really did.
Wow.
And no, I still hadn't found Jesus, even though during that time I was studying with the Jehovah Witnesses.
Okay.
Because they're the only people who would talk to me about the Lord.
Wow.
And yet I knew... Back then,
knew this is not really it, but they're so nice.
So nice.
Well,
they came to my door.
Yeah.
And I was so hungry for the real thing, for God, and I was always searching for Him, and I didn't know where to go to find Him.
Mm-hmm.
I had an absolute idea, and these people were more than willing to come in and talk to me, and they're nice.
Yeah.
They know their Bible.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
They know their Bible, and I mean, I studied with them for about 10 years.
Get out of here!
Really? Wow.
So, you know, and it just, but I knew it wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
It was something in my spirit. It was like, they're nice. I really like them.
Mm-hmm.
They're willing to talk with me.
I don't mean to laugh. It's like,
But don't people do that in relationships? It's like, not really it, but it's really nice.
Right. But there's something wrong here.
There's something wrong here. Yeah,
something dysfunctional.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I'm studying with Jehovah's Witnesses. I got Tom, who's a very violent man. He threatens to kill me, and he's hitting my kids. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I've got to get out of this. What in the heck am I doing? I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. The Catholic Church at the time wasn't for me because I'd been there, and I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I really didn't know what to do. And during this time, my daughter, because of the violence in the home and just everything, you know, the past abuse, and now she's like 13, 14, her hormones are kicking in. I got all this stuff going on. I can't deal with her and Tom and trying to protect my son, Kyle. And she goes gothic on me. She's gothic. Yeah. She's shaved head and the spikes and the
dark clothing.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. The eyeliner that drips down her face, you know, the Marilyn Manson stuff. Mm-hmm. And I got Marilyn Manson playing in my house, and I don't like that at all. And I couldn't deal with Leanna. I could not deal with her and everything that was going on. So I kind of gave her to Joel. I said, I can't deal with this little girl because she was getting into the occult. Mm-hmm. I mean, her friends were in the occult. They would hang Barbies in our house with 666 on their forehead and animal sacrifices on my front porch. I would go out and there would be the animal sacrifices and tarot cards underneath my furniture. I mean, the whole thing. Okay. And how spiritual do you want me to go?
Well, we got 4 minutes. So we got to squeeze it all in.
All right, 4 minutes. All right. There was a demonic presence in my house during that time. Strong demonic presence. To the point where I could hear things knocking on my walls.
Yeah.
I could feel things touching me at night. You know, like just a poke here and there. And my son Kyle would not, he's like 3 or 4 years old, he would not sleep by himself. He had to sleep with me. And he would just be screaming in the middle of the night for mommy to make the monster that's looking at him go away. So I had all this stuff going on. During that time, I'm so glad it's over. Thank you.
Amen.
Oh, thank you.
But when does Jesus come in? I'm waiting for Jesus to walk in.
Well, he isn't here yet. I'm still dealing with all this stuff. So finally, I get rid of Tom. My daughter's in the gothic stuff. Her friends are in the occult. I got all this stuff going on. And I finally get Tom out of the house. And I'm working at a antique mall. And I meet Chad. My soon-to-be third husband, who I didn't know was going to be my third husband at this point. And I was kind of telling him all the stuff that was going on with me. And I can't sleep. I there's knocking on my walls, and there's just things going on. And he took my hand one night, you know, because we're friends. And he just prayed over me. He prayed that the Holy Spirit would touch me and would make himself known and real to me. And I went home that night, and I got down on my knees in front of my bed. And I just said, here I am. I can't do this anymore. It kind of accepted him all over again, you know, just like, please come into my life.
Like you did at 15.
And it was funny because after it ended, I looked up and I had these spiritual pictures on my walls. I went, oh, he's been here the whole time. I did. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is a revelation. He's always been here. And I just didn't know it. And I went to bed, and I'm telling you, I slept all night. There was no knocking on my walls.
Wow.
My kids slept all night. He didn't wake up screaming in the middle of the night. There was no knocking on my walls. There was no things poking at me. And I was like, oh, my gosh. He's real.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really real.
Right.
And again, the demonstration of the power of prayer.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
there's
a world that we don't see. The spirit world.
Absolutely.
And wow, they were saying basically, you're not to enter this house anymore.
Right.
Yeah. And that's huge.
Absolutely.
That's huge.
Yeah. Okay. In the minute and a half that we have left.
Yeah.
Yes.
Since then, I'll put this, it's not shameless. It's a good plug. Nancy is an amazing photographer.
Yes.
I didn't realize until right before we got on air that she's only been doing this for like
two years. Almost 2 years.
And her stuff has been featured on television and all over the place for the stunning photography that she takes of nature. Sunsets, particularly, I think, are her forte. And I've seen her stuff all over Facebook. We're going to put a post in the podcast notes of that. When we put the podcast up for the podcast, the notes, excuse me, for the podcast. But Nancy, also, you have a book coming out soon?
Yes. We have a children's book called Marge. It's about my pet chicken back in the early 70s that we had. Her name is Marge. And our niece, Amy, illustrated it. And she's a wonderful, awesome artist. And she illustrated it. It came out, about a week and a half or so ago.
Okay. We're going to put a post for that as well.
Is it already for
sale?
People have been buying it. It's been really going, which I'm very blessed.
Good.
So.
Good,
Marge, but it has kind of a surprise in there about Marge, but you have to read it.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, nice little teaser there.
But it's a true story.
Okay.
It is a true story.
Okay. Mm. All right.
But the one thing I really quickly love is the fact that the transforming power. What we spent a lot of time on the program on the kind of the crap,
right.
But the transforming power and the legacy now that you and your husband Chad's in the room with us, that I've seen we've invested in other people's lives, and that's through the power of the Holy Spirit,
absolutely.
So it's been encouraging. Wish we could spend a lot more time with that, but
because Addie Acres really is all about.
Yes.
Blessing his people and giving him all the glory and all the credit, because it sure as heck isn't me.
Right.
I didn't know I could take pictures 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I just joined CBS2 Weather Watchers because it was fun. And I got bored taking pictures in my backyard, so I went to the lake. And I started taking pictures like, oh, my gosh, look at the beauty that surrounds us. And I started putting them on Facebook, and people started going gaga over the pictures. Yeah. And they just love our funny farm stories, which are true.
Right.
Like the chicken story about the turkeys this morning. You know, they're just true stories. But it's just all about God.
Wow.
Addie Acres is about God.
Well,
and blessing his people.
Amen. And I don't know how we probably only touched and scratched, I don't know, maybe 5% of your story.
Yes.
Even that, costs us to even miss the commercial. But I'd like, as we close, and I really encourage people, if you hear this podcast, either on the radio or if you see it on the podcast page, please share it. The things you've touched on, being in abusive marriages and going through what you've gone through with your children, and even demonic oppression and things. You've touched on a number of subjects that I think a lot of people out there are going to identify with.
Absolutely.
Even to the point of meeting your Prince Charming.
Aww.
That is Chad. And so just a powerful story. I really encourage you to share this story in the podcast, in this testimony, with as many people as you can.
Right.
So please do, please do that. In doing so, Kevin, if you could just go ahead and close us in a word of prayer.
Father, you're a good God. You're a good, good God. And Lord, it's just so great to be able to hear another story of your transforming power. We've missed, it seems like, so much of a lot of the details, even in the last 28 minutes of hearing this incredible story of how you've transformed a life. Lord, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Ask that this be a blessing upon people's ears. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories, so drop us a line at HisStoriesBroadcast.com. That's HisStoriesBroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.